Today on episode number 542 of the School of Podcasting, we have the one and only solopreneur Michael O'Neill. We also have a phenomenal Because of My Podcast story, and if dynamic ad insertion is the future of podcasting, the future is bleak. Ugh. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is what we do. I have 20 years, actually more than 20 years, under my belt of helping people understand technology and helping them just maximize embracing it and getting the most out of it. So I'm going to help you massage your message. I'm going to help you tackle the technology. I'm going to help you face your fears and flatten that learning curve and get you on the road to iTunes and beyond. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you want to start your podcast, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Use the coupon code LISTENER and save, whether you're purchasing on a single course or a whole bundle. Today's show is actually going to be a little shorter. Why? Because I ran out of time. It's the holidays. We're busy. We're all busy. Let's face it, without the holidays, we're all busy. And this is where Emerald City Productions can come into play. They are a full-service recording studio that provides production, engineering, and editing. And Danny and Aaron Osment founded this service. They're based in Tennessee back in 2009, and they've worked with some phenomenal people. And the beauty of this is right now, they have a special deal. Your first four episodes are only $15 each.
What?
Then after that, it goes up to the price of $40, which in itself is a steal. Do they make people sound good? Well, check this out.
Have yourself a merry Christmas.
These guys know how to record voices, and what they're going to do is they're going to do things like add your intro and outro. They'll remove all the ums and you knows, any kind of mistakes that you need removed, noise reduction. They're going to be balancing and basically improving your volume levels. They'll EQ it so it sounds beautiful. Basically, your ears are going to go, ah, when you hear your finished product. All you have to do, again, first four episodes, $15 each, and then after that, $40. Just go to emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. That's emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. And while you're over there, check out, they have a free webinar. He does a free monthly webinar about how to use the equipment you have, editing, mixing, and mastering. Check it out, emeraldcitypro.com/SOP.
From now on, our troubles will be mine.
Every Saturday, I am blessed enough to, we really do have a lot of fun at askthepodcastcoach.com/live every Saturday. I have a great chat room, a group of people that show up every week, and I get to hang out with Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. But Jim is one of those guys that is lucky enough, he does a podcast for his job. And check out his Because of My Podcast story.
We talked a couple weeks ago, right? I do this high school internship program. I talked about it here. I think it was here at the end of one of the shows. I talked about what we do and diversity in that. So Kwesi out there, he's in our chat room today, I think, said, hey, I'll interview you. And or would you come on and talk about your program on my podcast? And so last week or 2 weeks ago, he recorded and we produced it. It's out there. It's good, really great stuff, Kwesi. So thanks for doing that as well. So I posted that, and I also mentioned that the chamber, the Omaha Chamber, because of this work that I'm doing, the Omaha Chamber came in and made a video.
Nice.
Little 3-minute video. It's well produced. It's pretty awesome. If you go to Gallup Get Hip, so GETHIP, gallupgethip.com/info, that's our kind of our landing page for our high school internship program. And so you'll see the video. And then this week I put the link of the audio from Kwesi's interview. I didn't even put a player. I just put a link to the audio. So that was, I think last week I did that. So this week, Monday, Tuesday, I got an email from somebody at Nebraska Department of Labor who said, hey, I heard your podcast where you were interviewed by, I think he calls it Pod Wabbit over there, Kwesi does. And I heard your interview. Would you be available for a conversation about what you're doing? Because we've got some questions. And I thought, hey, I got the attention of the department, you know, the Nebraska Department of Labor.
Nice.
That's not bad, right? Not because of my video, but because of the audio. She said in the I listened to your audio podcast from, right? She could have said, I saw the video from the chamber. It was awesome. But she specifically pointed out, she sat down and listened to the audio. So does audio make a difference? Can it? Absolutely can make a difference. And so because of my podcast, I have this meeting now with the Department of Labor here in the state of Nebraska.
The Department of Labor for Nebraska. Like we say, you never know who's listening. And I'll have links to the videos and links to his podcast and everything. Again, you can find him at theaverageguy.tv. And if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/542, you can see everything that we were talking about. All right. I am kind of, I think you probably are too, thinking about what am I going to do in 2017? And one of the things I'm going to be doing is realize we all just have a certain amount of time during the day. And I'm actually going to scale back on some of my podcast listening. And I'm going to be looking more into education and taking, and here's the key, taking action on the things that I learned. I think we all have been victim of signing up for a course and then we watch a video or two and then we kind of run out of time or we're on to the next shiny thing. And so next year, I'm all going to be about going to different courses and going through them. And I actually went through, today we have on the show, Michael O'Neill. And Michael is a guy that comes up with stuff that just hits you over the head. And it's so like you can do this right now kind of stuff. And you just kind of go, man, why didn't I think about that? I'll give you an example. He does a show called the Solopreneur Hour. Now, instead of making you go to solopreneurhour.com, because who knows how to spell entrepreneur, let alone solopreneur, he just made his website solohour.com. And then it redirects to solopreneurhour.com. Over there, you can find a course on how to crush conferences and events. It's free. It's called Conferencetopia. He likes these big, long names, apparently. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't gone through that yet, but that's one of the first things I have signed up for. I have signed up for, now this one's not free and it's not cheap, but in just watching the first two sessions, I was like, oh man, that is a really good idea. And again, it's stuff that you just go, oh, why didn't I think of that? It's at theartofinterview.co. And if you're a person that's doing interviews, Michael has over 500 under his belt. And he does interviews that are more conversational, but yet he pulls out a story. And he'll explain in today's show how that's not really something that happens by accident. And you'll learn in this. What I wanted to find out with Michael and why I brought him on the show is Michael impressed me because he's launching a podcast without knowing where it's going to go. He just knows he likes talking about hi-fi stereo equipment, and he's going to start a podcast about it because he likes that stuff and he wants to talk about it. He might get a sponsor later. He's got a great audience with a lot of money that likes to spend it, and he's just going to go out and do it. And I was like, I think we need more of that. I'm actually doing something very similar. I just bought an Amazon Dot, if you've ever heard of this, or the Amazon Echo. So, Alexa, say hello.
Hello.
There we go. Alexa, what's a podcast?
The term podcast means distribute multimedia files over the internet for playback on a mobile device or a personal computer.
Alexa, you're fired. You forgot to say RSS feed. Anyway.
Yeah. I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
Yeah, that's it. You're fired. I really like this technology. I'm excited about this technology. We'll see if it lasts. But I went and launched a podcast this week. Now, I've got a bunch of podcasts, and this is going to be one of those where do as I say, not as I do, because I'm probably not going to be very reliable on this one. But I also want to play with another hosting platform called Awesound that I've heard a lot about. And the only way, just like a recipe, the only way to know if something is good is to make it. So the only way to know if this hosting is any good is to go throw some files on it and see what happens. So I want to kind of, I hope you get this from this interview, that number one, you're going to learn how to stand out. And think about this and listen to the things that he does. he's not, the difference between good and great is not this huge, just giant valley that you have to jump over. It's usually just doing a little more. It's doing the little things that nobody else does. And Michael is great at that. So I'm really excited to have him on my show. Again, find him over at solohour.com. Find his product, The Art of the Interview, at artofinterview.co. And again, if you go to solohour.com, you take his free course, How to Crush Conferences and Events. So, Michael, thanks for coming on the show.
What's up, Dave? How you doing, man? Thanks for that. Yeah. Good intro.
Well, see, I learned that from DC Podfest. So, no, or not, really? Not DC Podfest, from, I'm getting my things from your speech at Podcast Mid-Atlantic. Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that I taught you a thing about podcasting.
Oh, I had to do like homework for you. I'm like, I can't just do the normal stuff. It's Michael O'Neill. He's going to be, wow. He's going to be grading me the whole time.
Well, there's no grading. I'm very happy. You know, I was just saying, that I was going on with, a dude that is a titan, I think, of the podcasting world. And so I was very honored to be here. Thank you.
Well, I've listened to your story. That was the whole thing. I had to get your story to like figure out, like, okay, see where you're at. I wanted to figure out like how did you get to where you're going. And one of the things I've heard is you decided to have lunch with Pat Flynn. Like, hey, I'm just going to go have lunch with Pat Flynn. And I know you emailed him a couple of times, but like, how did that actually, like, do you just email Pat and go, hi, you don't know me, I want to take you to lunch?
So one of the things that I like to help people learn is that everything should be intentional. So there's a faster track to success. And that is generally, you know, getting to events, connecting with quote unquote influencers, things like that. That all happens. If you break bread with someone, that's a much better way to have more doors open for you, especially if they have some generosity gene, which I think most of them do. And so in 2010, I had reached out to Pat because I was putting out my first course and I had written him a couple of emails. I was a fan of his blog. We didn't have any kind of relationship at all, but I wrote to him. I think it took me 3 times to get a response from him. And I was asking very specific questions. So it wasn't like, how do you start a podcast? Or, you know, how do I become an affiliate marketer? It was like, hey, on my membership site for, I don't remember what the question was, but he finally answered it and he gave me this really nice, full, long email. And I wrote him back and I gave him an iTunes gift card for like $20. Now at the time, and this was a big deal back in 2010, he was making like $15,000 a month or something.
So he needed that $20.
Yeah. He didn't need my 20, but I think it was just enough to earmark. So the next time I could see him, I could be like, oh yeah, I was the guy that sent you the blah, blah, blah. So nice. I always think that people should figure out how to be memorable. It doesn't mean you have to give people money or things or gifts, but it is nice to be memorable. In fact, I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking how funny would it be for someone who was like a guest on the show or someone who did something cool to send them like a 20 pack of toilet paper rolls from Amazon, because you know that they'd have to use it and you know they think of me every time you use these. I appreciate that. So that's one way to become front of mind. I still might do it. I haven't decided yet. Fast forward 2 years, Pat was speaking at NMX, which was Blog World New Media Expo. And I had written him, I heard he was going to be there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. So I went to that conference and I said, Pat, is it okay? You know, can I take you to a coffee or something? And so we ended up going out to get a little smoothie. He was still in his pre-game rehearsal mode.
Right.
So if you don't know this about him, he's not too off the cuff. He's super rehearsed. So he was doing his thing 500 times in front of a mirror before he would go on. I was like, oh my God, I've never done that once. Maybe I should do that once. But we chatted then, and that's kind of began our friendship. By the end of that evening, we were a few drinks in and we were at a diner at 4 a.m. But I think that really got to where we started bonding. And then back in San Diego, we'd had multiple occasions where we'd cross paths. But in this particular occasion, I said, yeah, let's, you know, it's been a minute. Let's go grab some lunch. And so we did. We ended up grabbing lunch and it was a couple hours later. But we were already friends at that point. But that was 2013. And we had this conversation while we were, you know, just hanging at lunch. And it was just a conversation that a couple of dudes would have. We talked about our relationships and cars and girlfriends and fashion and whatever else we were talking about. And he stopped in the doorway on the way out and he just said, dude, thank you. I never get to do this. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, every time I do a, you know, or I have a conversation, it's about smart passive income. It's about SPI, whether it's on a podcast or just in real life, it's always business related. So I thought, wouldn't that be an interesting idea for a show? What if I brought people on that were notable and talked around what they're known for? You know, like what if we talked about, oh, well, what is it like if you have a wife that's not an entrepreneur? What is it like, you know, if you have to take your kids to school and how do you manage your time and what do you use for productivity? And, you know, what are the things that actually make the real rubber meets the road part of, you know, being a solopreneur and entrepreneur? So that's where the seed was planted for the show. And that was May of 2013. And then I had launched the Solopreneur Hour in August of 2013. And that was almost 8 million downloads ago.
Jeez Louise. Because when I heard people talk about your show, it's always, oh, you should hear this guy's show. He's a great interviewer. And it's just a conversation. It's kind of weird. It's like that they call it Justa, but because that Justa is, you know, that's a lot of work to figure out where to go. But it wasn't the, you know, top 10 reasons to grow your, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The tornado round, everybody.
Well, you've had a really interesting path. Like, I know you've worked with Heinz. Are you still working with Heinz Ward?
Yeah. So I co-host the Heinz Ward show once or twice a week, depending on if we have a guest, which is surreal, dude, because I'm a huge, colossal Steelers fan.
Yeah. So how does that happen? How do you just like bump into Heinz on the street and go, hey, we should do a podcast?
It's a crazy story. My two favorite players in the NFL of all time are Heinz Ward and Brett Favre. Brett Favre is a Packer. I'm a Steelers fan, but I just liked his grit and I liked how he played the game. Same with Heinz. So I was just a huge fan. He was one of my top five gets. I'm like, could I get Heinz Ward on the show? And I reached out to him a couple years ago and they declined me. In September of 2015, my buddy John Lee Dumas sends me or calls me and he goes, hey, have you ever heard of Shaquille O'Neal's podcast? And I said, I've heard of it. I've never heard it. And he says, well, it's like pop culture meets sports. I've recently been approached by another celebrity to see if they could start a podcast, but I don't have the bandwidth for it. I thought you might be interested. I said, okay, who is it? And he said, well, I was thinking that there might be a cool, you know, ad revenue share situation we could do. And I said, great, who is it? He goes, well, and also I think he really needs probably a co-host because I don't know how great he is. I'm like, dude, who is it? He says, it is none other than number 86 himself, Heinz Ward. And I said, you've got to be essing me. And he could have said Tom Cruise and I'd have been like, all right, fine. We'll start a show with Tom Cruise. Who cares? So anyway, that's the circuitous path to how I ended up co-hosting a show with Heinz Ward. And now it's crazy because we've interviewed, you know, he's a celeb. So I've got Bret Michaels from Poison and Charles Barkley and Anthony Jeselnik and Guy Fieri and
nice.
You know, all kinds of cool folks that for me, I'm a Steelers fan first. So it's crazy for me at all to turn on my Skype and I look right now and Heinz Ward is on the left and Jerome Bettis is on the right and we're about to record a show together. I'm like, what world am I in right now? And Heinz just sent me a video like 2 seconds ago of him and Jerome being like, yo, what's up, Michael? Happy Thanksgiving, whatever. I'm like, all right, this is a weird world that I'm in. So, yeah. So, but at the same time, and I think everyone should know this, my fandom instantly dropped away when it got to my wheelhouse. Like I'm the broadcaster of the two of us, you know, I know what I'm doing in this realm and Heinz is much better now. Like, but at the beginning he's a route runner, you know, tell him where to run and he runs it, but he doesn't have like, there's not creativity coming out of him at all. So it's funny when I read the iTunes reviews, they're mostly good, but every once in a while I'll get someone who goes, oh, you know, the host, Michael, should let Heinz talk more. I go, you guys have no idea. He wouldn't say anything. If he wasn't prompted, he wouldn't say a word. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. It's what you get.
Sometimes those sports guys, not exactly the most talkative guys. And then when they do, you're kind of like, wow, sometimes, you know, less is more in that case.
Well, yeah, they're trained not to. That's the point.
Yeah.
They're trained not to talk to the media. Now, all of a sudden, we're putting this guy in this position where he's got to be a personality. And now he's on HLN in the morning with Robin Mead. And they keep reminding him, hey, dude, we want you. We want your personality to come out. And he's got to find that. That's something that he's learning. What's really cool about him is that he's a consummate learner and student. He wants to be coached all the time.
Nice.
And that's cool.
Yeah. Well, now we have to back one other second because you're just like, yeah, my friend John Lee Dumas. So how did that come about?
Not incredibly dissimilar. We had had him as a guest on the Kick-Ass Life. I liked what he was doing. Like, I was keeping tabs on the industry a bit, and I said, oh, David, you should interview this guy, John Lee Dumas. So he did. And then I found out that John was moving to San Diego, and I live in San Diego now. And I said, hey, let's connect when you get in. And it took a while to do, but then we eventually were able to connect. He carved out a couple of hours for me. You know, we walked around the bay in San Diego, and he was super nice and said, you know, what can I do for you? And we traded some ideas, and I'll never forget this. I had about $75 in my bank account at the time, and I went to the flower store. And again, this is sort of the same idea. It'd be memorable. I went to the flower shop, and I got them being John and Kate, a bouquet of fire colored flowers.
Nice.
As a thank you for taking the time, you know, taking 2 hours out of his day to do that. I think I spent $67 on it. And I think I had $75 in my account at the time.
Jeez.
And I just said, you know, I wanted them to know. And I think that was the day that Kate liked me. You know, I think if you win the girlfriend, that's you're in. But again, same idea is that I want it to be, you know, memorable. And then so John and I just have grown closer and closer and closer. He was episode one of my show. He's been episode 200. He was on episode 500. We've done Plain Cast 1 and 2, where we've both recorded shows on, you know, literally in seats on a plane. We recorded 2 podcasts. We did Creative Live with him. He's been very generous with his recommendations and his intros and things like that. So yeah, I consider him a great friend, and I've missed him since he's moved to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm sure that perked up the listeners' ears is I'd mentioned that after you started your podcast and you within a year, you were making serious bucks. So how did that come about?
So it's a combo of, you know, of course, podcasting. It's tough just to make money with pure podcasting. But my numbers were good at the beginning, especially now when I look at, you know, when I'm helping people launch shows now. I feel like it was easier to get better numbers back in the day than it was, than it is now. You know, it's so much noisier out there. I just did a post today on Facebook that, I don't know, I think is actually pretty relevant to this whole concept. And the idea is that if you're asked multiple times about something, right? Like if it's the thing that people keep asking you about, you got to do something with that. Like that matters. That's something that really matters. And I had a really nice, hold on a second, I'm going to find it for you guys. I had a really nice, just a little 3-word summary of this, which is that patterns become products. Patterns become products. Hmm. So in my case with the show, people kept asking me, do you do any coaching? Do you do any coaching? Do you do any coaching? And I didn't. I had to keep saying no. I was like, no, I don't know anything about coaching. What do I know about coaching? I know how to, I'm good at talking into a microphone. That's what I'm good at. After the 40th time that happened, I was like, yes, of course I do coaching, you know, because of course you have to do something. So whenever I'm learning something new, like right now I'm learning a little more about Facebook ads, and I call that being in the lab. That's how I frame it to myself. I'm like, all right, I'm in the lab, and I'm consuming YouTube videos, and I'm consuming courses and things like that. I started a group called Solo Lab. That was my group. The show's called The Solopreneur Hour. I started a group called Solo Lab, where as solopreneurs, we're in the lab. We're always having to constantly learn about something. And again, this was kind of a JLD influence. I had this huge plan of what Solo Lab was going to be. and I let the market test it for me. So I had this idea of this is how I'm going to do the show. And then John said, don't even do any of that. Like, just start with a Facebook page, you know. I put it out there on the show. I said, if anybody's interested in you know, joining a group coaching program where you get to work with me on a regular basis, sign up for this little 15-minute Skype hello, and we'll have a chat, and we'll see if it's a good fit. And so I did about 40 of those, Dave. I spent 3 days, like, back to back, and I just talked to people. And the thing I started with was not the thing I ended with, you know? The idea that I had going into it was not what I ended up with. It was way less complicated, in fact. People were just like, yeah, I want a community. I was way overcomplicating the idea behind this thing.
What a better way to get to know your audience than to just talk to them for 15 minutes?
No better way at all.
Wow.
And I have so much to say about that. I think every single listener is like a little gold gem, because that person, that one download is really like 200. You know, I think about people binging on the product every time I reach one new person, and how much of a difference that could make in the overall business. When I go to a conference and I hear someone say, "I've been listening to you since Vegas," like, wow, okay, I'm sorry to hear that, but it's also awesome at the same time, you know. So, at the end of these little Skype sessions, I said, okay, if I were to start this thing next week, again, I have no monetary investment in this thing so far. If I were to start it next week, are you a definite yes, a definite no, or a definite maybe? And in my head, I said, if I can get at least 10 yeses, then I'll do this. This will be a little, you know, or maybe it's too early. Maybe, you know, this was only like, let's see, August, September, October. This was November. So this was about 2.5 months in to having the show. I don't know. I didn't know if I had enough authority yet. I didn't know if I had enough listenership. At the time, I think I was doing maybe 60,000 downloads a month or something like that, a couple thousand a day. And there was no way to gauge if that was any good or not, right? So I set up a landing page. It didn't cost me hardly anything. You know, a landing page, connected it to PayPal. I used S2 member for a membership site. I launched it on December 5th or 6th or something in 2013. And I'll say, all right, if I get at least 10 people that'll pay $3,000 or $300, then I'll do it. It'll be $3,000, right? That'll be like a good, right. Okay, I'll have 10 people in my coaching group. And I think I had 18 that signed up in the first hour.
Nice.
And then by, you know, a month later, I had 70 people in the group, you know?
That's an awesome thing right there.
Yeah.
And that's, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on, is because so many people, I think, over plan and over design. You're starting a new show about audiophile equipment kind of stuff. And I was listening to your show and you're like, yeah, I don't know where it's going. I don't know what I'm going to do for money. I just know I love this stuff and I want to talk about it. And I was like, hallelujah. And I know you're going right. You're going to find a way. Cause I mean, talk about a market that has money. As opposed to,
and is so willing to spend it, dude. Yeah. So willing to spend it.
And I was like, that's genius. And right. So I was like, I love the attitude of like, I want to talk about this stuff, and I am, and I'll figure out the rest later. And that's really, I was like, oh,
I don't care if there's 9 people that listen to that show. I don't care at all. That's how it needs to start, Dave, right? You know this.
Yeah.
The people that come to me and say, oh, I need to figure out how to monetize my podcast. I'm like, well, how long have you been doing your podcast? Well, I haven't launched it yet. I'm like, what are you thinking right now? What, you know, because I know this at least once or twice. It's been like 1 a.m. Something just happened to the recording of the show that had to be out that day. And I go, oh, crap, I have to record a show now. Like right now, I'm exhausted and I have to record a show. I got to come up with some content and be engaging and interesting for an hour. OK. And then I hit record and I do a show and then I go to bed exhausted, but worth it. Right. So that's what this needs to be. It needs to be not like how much money can I make when things are going well. It's what happens when things are not going well or something hits the fan and you've got to fix it. Like, are you passionate enough about that subject to keep talking about it? And most aren't, which is why most shows are awful, awful. Yeah. And so I think 95%, especially in the entrepreneurial world, 95% of people are terrible at podcasting.
Yeah. I'm with you. When I hear somebody focusing more on the downloads, which obviously we want to know who's listening, but when I hear them focusing more on how am I going to monetize this first before they focus on how to build an audience, because you're going to monetize your audience. And if you don't have an audience, then you're not going to monetize.
The reason why I did, so I have this new course called The Art of the Interview.
Yes.
Shameless plug.
I was going to say, talk about that.
The reason why I did that is because I had enough people, same exact scenario, patterns become products. I had enough people that asked me, how do you interview like that? Like, how do I become a better interviewer? And I said, man, there's not a lot out there. In fact, I don't think there's anything out there to teach people how to be better interviewers. Like what the actual, there's a dance, there's a beauty to a great, not just conversation, because you can have great conversations, but to make it engaging and then interesting and quote unquote valuable for people, and especially to do it the way I do it, which is to Trojan horse the value. I try not to be blatant about the actionable steps, but I want them to come away with a story where they go, wow, that relates to me 100% right now. And that's a tougher road to hoe, you know? So I had to figure out how to do that. And I had enough people that asked me about it. And I said, all right, let me see if I can start breaking this thing down. And it took me about 5 or 6 months to even formulate how I would teach someone to be a better interviewer. Because it's a weird, complex, onion skinny kind of thing. Because it's like, well, what's the objective first, right? When I think about a new guest on a show, I always think of myself as the Rosetta Stone. So I'm the translator between my guest and the audience. So which is why sometimes you hear me step in and go, wait, hold on, let me see if I can understand that correctly. And so I know I understand it, but I don't know if they understand it, right? So that's one of those things that is a subtle but super effective trick that I don't know that a lot of people do. But for me, when I bring a guest on, I like to, before I do anything, I go, what's the narrative of this show? Where am I going to steer this rudder in general? Like, what's the general scope of what I want this show to do for the audience? And then I may or may not craft some questions around that. Then I may or may not get to those questions as I'm having this conversation. You know, if there's a lull, I'll ask another question. But if we just are talking, I let that thing go. I think with James Altucher, I had him in studio like, I don't know, a month ago or so. I think I had a few questions because I think he's a fascinating dude. I had a couple questions that I'd written down. I don't know that I got to any of them because he was, you know, right out of the gates, he started asking me stuff. And I was like, oh, that's what happens when you get a guy who's an interviewer. He goes the other way with it. But that was a conversation that I could have had for 3 hours with him. So, yeah, I figured out how to do it. And with a couple of good friends' help, I was able to organize it into some, you know, logical chunks. So I did before the interview, during the interview, after the interview. So that's kind of how I arranged the course. And then I did something which I'd never seen before, but I think is pretty cool, which is I made 3 separate courses in one. So I recorded the whole thing with a nice DSLR 1080p video. I had makeup on my face. I had the little lavalier mic and did the whole thing. And then, because I knew it was going to be podcasters, I recorded the entire thing from scratch in a podcast form as well.
Nice.
So full audio only. So I didn't just extract the audio. I just redid the course. And then I had a great writer friend of mine go through the videos and write essentially a Kindle ebook that's the same content but in ebook form. So you can consume it visually, audibly, or with, you know, kinesthetically with kind of video, which I thought was cool.
Nice. And where can people find this wonderful training?
It's artoftheinterview.co.
Nice.
Artoftheinterview.co. And one other thing, I'll do one more plug for it because I think it's kind of fun. I had this one of those interviews with Michael Gerber from The E-Myth Revisited. And that book changed my career, truly. It was like I closed it. It completely shifted how I thought about business and everything. So I was so grateful to get this guy on the show. And the interview, Dave, was completely and utterly brutal from an interviewer standpoint.
Really?
Meaning there was no yes and. It was a challenge at every turn. He shut down every direction I wanted to go. I went from sort of being seated and excited about the interview I was about to do to standing like I was ready to throw a punch. Like that's how my legs were stanced for the entire episode. And I would say something. He'd give me the Heisman, you know, the Heisman Trophy move.
Right.
And I'd go, okay. And I'd shift and redirect and go a different way the entire time. So it was tough. And I hit stop and, you know, I let him go. And I thought, okay, that tested the outer limits of my capabilities. That interview was the outer. I think the audience will hear it and think it was a fine interview. But I had a buddy of mine, Chris Cerrone. I don't know if you know Chris from the Cerrone Show. Published the episode. He calls me the next day. Here was the conversation. He just goes, dude, Gerber. And I was like, Gerber. It was like brutal. So what I did, which is kind of cool, I did like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 of that of that episode. So in the course, I break down the entire interview. So like, I'm like, okay, now I'm about to ask him this. Listen to how he responds and listen to how I read. So I really uncover the dance beneath the interview.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool, I think.
I like that idea.
It took forever, but it was rad.
Well, I know you said you like to think like a stand-up, like a comedian,
yeah,
because it doesn't matter if it's a conversation. It still has to be entertaining.
That's right.
And
that's
so right. Do you remember, have you always like tried to make people laugh growing up?
You know what? I didn't realize it as much as I did. I mean, I listened to Richard Pryor live on the Sunset Strip when I was a kid. The fact that I'm not a stand-up is baffling. I should have been. And it was kind of one of those things that I was like, why didn't I just do this? And I have no good answer for that. I have no good answer. So I think what I'm doing now is I'm focusing a little more on doing speaking gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to integrate some of that stuff into that a little more. So I'm going to get my stand-up chops together. But I don't think people realize that stand-up comedy is way more technical than it is creative.
Mm.
A stand up, like when you watch stand ups get interviewed, they're not very funny sometimes. They're right. Just not always constantly funny dudes. I just heard Norm MacDonald on the Nerdist podcast the other day. He's just a funny dude constantly.
Oh, cool.
He's a funny human. But you hear Seinfeld or, you know, some of these guys, they're just not, they're not just really funny. The funny part is a developed technical skill. That they find a premise, they find what's funny in it, and then they keep rehearsing that line until it's perfect. You know, they keep pulling the fat out of it.
Well, the other thing that you've mentioned that I want to pick your brain about is one of the things that's caught me during this interview is your emphasis on standing out. And you talked about the flowers and the gift card. Any other things that come to your mind that you've done to stand out or things that people could do to stand out?
Yeah, there's a number of things. I think that people, first and foremost, don't take the word host seriously enough. So when they're hosting a show, they need to really coddle and cater to that guest. So that guest feels so well taken care of. And it's something we don't do. One of the things I see a lot, every time I do it, I get such great feedback from the guests, which is, think about this, Dave. How often do you make it to the very, very end of a podcast?
I do 80% of the time, probably.
Okay. That's a much higher.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm not normal, though. I'm not your typical listener.
Most are like 15, 20%.
Yeah.
You know, if you went back and looked at my playlist, I got a lot of shows that have 5 minutes left. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it tends to be a thing. And if I posted this in a couple of the podcast groups, just curious how long they listen to the shows or what the percentage is. And the general percentage was about 85% don't make it to the very end of a show. Yet, as podcast quote hosts, unquote, we choose to plug our guests at the very end of the show, which really means they're getting nothing from whatever value they gave is great. But if we don't do our job as hosts, meaning beginning, middle, and end. Go listen to any professional broadcaster. The first thing that happens when they bring a guest on is they plug them. You know, listen to Adam Carolla's show. In fact, he just did a spectacular interview with the dude, Stephen Dubner from Freakonomics. Great interview. The first thing he does when he brings him on is he plugs, you know, when Freakonomics is on iTunes, how you can reach him, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we all need to do that better as podcasters because the guests really appreciate it. I don't think we realize how much they appreciate it when it happens. But often when you do that, as soon as you hit stop, they go, hey, man, I just want to tell you, I've done a million of these shows. You were so generous in promoting me. I really appreciate that, which is then the time you can say, thanks so much. You know, I realize you're doing me a big favor here. I wonder, would you be willing to share this episode with your audience? That's the time to ask that. Because otherwise, if you have a big influencer, they generally don't share it anymore because they're on too many shows. The part B to that is you can say, I had a great time too. Is there anyone else you would recommend to be on my show? Because I had such a great conversation with you. I'm sure you know some great people. And then they recommend you to their A-lister friends. And you just continue to have this great group of guests. Neither of those two things happens if you don't coddle and cater to your guests. So I think if you really want to stand out as a podcaster, you want to hear a couple things. You want to hear someone say, I've never been asked that before, which is awesome. That means you've done some homework. And you want them to say, that was such a great experience. Especially if they come from the traditional media world and they've been interviewed on CNBC and the Today Show and things like that. It's nice to when someone from our podcasting community is good at their job so that that person goes, oh, you know what? That was actually a great experience. I'm going to do more podcasts because that helps everybody. And that's how I think of this. I think of this as, I'm making a paycheck from podcasting now, but unless we all do our jobs better, or not, I shouldn't say unless, if we all do our jobs better, we can all make paychecks from it. We can make this into a living, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you, buddy, as I now plug your stuff at the end of the interview.
Sorry.
I was like, that's a great tip. I should have done that. If you want to check out some free stuff, of course, you can go to solohour.com, but you've actually got a course on how to crush things at conferences.
Yes.
And that's really cool, especially with, it's towards the end of the year now, but we've got PodFest in February, you got Podcast Movement, and of course, all sorts of different conferences that people go to. So you can check that out. Obviously, they can hire you for coaching. You got a nice, cute little button over there at solohour.com. And of course, artoftheinterview.co. I think I'll be hitting that one as soon as we're done here because you've definitely got me intrigued. And thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
It was so great. And I hope that you can return the favor and be on the Solopreneur Hour. That would be awesome.
I would in a heartbeat. That'd be awesome.
Okay, good.
All right.
I'll send you the link. Make it happen.
Awesome. All right, my friend. Well, I will let you go off to grandmother's house. You go wherever you're headed. So
thanks.
Have a good
day. Dave, it was so fun, man. It was cool to talk podcasting with you. And I'm looking forward to doing it on my show.
Really nice guy. I am. I'm glad. This is one of the things when we talk about going to events. This is the thing. One of the things that happens is you meet people and Michael can bring the snark. We went out to dinner with a bunch of people. Ramona was with us and a bunch of other people. Heather was with us. It was awesome. And you get to know these people. And it's just that's one of the perks of it. I'm going to be in Tampa Bay in December. I'm going to be talking at the Tampa Bay Business Association about podcasting. I'm going to be at PodFest. Are you going to be at PodFest? Come on. PodFest.us. That again, that's in Orlando in Florida in the middle of February. Come on, who doesn't want to make that trip? I'll be going out to Anaheim next year for Podcast Movement. Always looking forward to that. So events can be really, really helpful. And it doesn't have to be these big ones, too. Look at meetup.com. I run a Northeast Ohio podcasters kind of meetup. If you go to neohiopodcasters.com, we do that once a month. So, and look where you can connect with people because it really does come in handy. In fact, I'm actually working on, I've been hired to make a podcast about PodFest. So I'll be talking about that. Also am doing, I mentioned this earlier, the AlexaCast. If you go over to AlexaCast.com, something I'm just throwing out there to see what happens. And I encourage you to do the same. Now, normally we would have things. Here are a couple things that we're not doing this week. I've been playing with microphones, not doing that this week. Why? In the States, we had this little thing called Thanksgiving. And there's this thing that people do that hopefully they're doing just as much as they used to in the good old days, and that's spending time with their family. And that's what I did this weekend. And you know what? I went to my coach. I said, Ryan, should I just do a shorter show this week? And you know what he said?
No one will punch you in the face.
Exactly. So we're not going to do the glossary. We're not doing the microphone shootout. I will do that next week. But I do want to play a clip that I did find. And a lot of people, you'll hear this a lot about different companies' dynamic ad insertion. And what this is this is where, let's say you make a file, right? Just look at the file in your head, right? From A to Z, there it is. And what you can do is you can go in and say, look, at the 4 minute and 18 second mark, put this ad. So let's say it's an ad for, I don't know, Geico. So sure enough, what it does is it goes back to the original file and kind of makes a sandwich. It splits your file, puts the ad in the middle, puts the whole thing back together as a single file. And then what happens is, let's say Geico only advertises for a couple months. And after that, hey, it's now Progressive. So what you can do is go back and say, all right, swap out this Progressive or this Geico ad for this Progressive ad. And it will go out and basically do that. Make the same file, just new ad. It's called dynamic ad insertion. Great idea. The ads that are coming through this, if you listen to the new media show, at newmediashow.com. This is Todd Cochran from Blueberry, Rob Greenlee from Spreaker. Two great guys with a huge amount of knowledge of just the industry. Really two titans over there. It's one of my favorite shows. And they talk about how this is really expensive and how they're not, so far, from what we're seeing with the limited amount of data, the advertisers are not getting great return on this. And one of the shows I pop in and out of, I'm a big Jay Mohr fan. He's a comedian, he's an actor, and now he's doing a radio show for sports. And I love his radio show. I'm just a big fan. But it's interesting. Let me play an example of dynamic ads. Now, he's on Podcast One, and I'm not sure how he's doing this. I'm not blaming Jay for this. But here's my point. If you're going to be involved with something like this, you need to just plan it. Leave yourself a place so that it sounds natural, because literally, let me play this clip. You'll hear where they're in the middle of a concept. They're having a conversation. The ad comes in. The minute the ad is done, you rejoin the conversation. And it, when I listen to this, it literally makes me almost like do a double take, because I'm just like, the one time I was like, well, here, let me play you these.
But then when you do it all the time, I'm exhausted by it.
Right.
And I'll tell Corey, like, if we're on like a TV show or something, I'll just go, you have to leave because I won't be able to stop talking.
Casper, that's the mattress I use. I sleep cool and I need
to. All right, so I'm not going to make you listen to the whole ad. Let me get you, here's the ad and going back to the conversation.
What I meant. Just type in J for Casper.com/J.
So when we were in your house earlier and we were here for maybe 10, 15 minutes talking, you were more disjointed then than you actually are now on mic.
Isn't that crazy? Here's another one. Okay, he's talking about something, and then you'll hear the ad come in.
He says you cannot beat a lie detector. I said
that's insane that he would.
You
think
can
that.
Tell. Well, he's retired now. His right. entire life has seen the evolution of it.
But what are all those guys? They trained to beat him. All those military, those special.
They know you're being deceptive. It shows deception.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair.
Who thinks the stock market is volatile? I do.
And
raise
now let
hand.
Me fade that. Let's jump to the end.
To purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by rich uncles for this single message.
And what about like a sociopath or someone who just doesn't feel
who thinks
remorse
their lies
or
are true? Yeah.
And some
that's
people,
the rub.
Right.
So this is why this kind of advertising may not be getting the greatest returns, because it's insane. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. So the other thing that you'll hear is there's a company called Abovecast. Abovecast.com. And this is where you can list your podcast over there, and then sponsors can come in and offer you to put, you know, usually they're looking for host read, something that doesn't get swapped out, yada, yada, yada. And AboveCast announced that they've partnered, I don't know if partner is the right word, but they have a relationship now with Podomatic. This is really not bad news, but it's not good news. What we need to hear is that if it's an advertising company, that they've partnered with, I don't know, advertisers. There's enough. We don't need more podcasters. We need advertisers that are willing to sponsor on smaller shows. And this is where people like Blueberry, Todd has been a champion for the little podcaster. And then recently, knocking it out of the park more than anybody else is Jessica Kufferman over at jkmagency.com. And I just hear more people that said, hey, I heard her on your show. I approached her and doggone it if she didn't find me a sponsor. So I wouldn't be too worried about dynamic advertising. I just wanted to play that for you just to get you kind of educated on what it is and how this is why it's not working. So this is kind of an example of here's how not to do advertising. And again, I always want to point this out. You don't have to do advertising. I'm doing advertising now on this show, by the way. And if you're new to this show, this is all an experiment. I believe my contract is up in February and I won't be renewing that. Nothing against Emerald City Productions. It's just one of the things I'm going to be doing in 2017 is writing more books. I'm going to be updating More Podcast Money, which is a book I wrote about making money with your podcast. And again, you don't have to, but I'm going to be updating that one. I have a book called Planning Your Podcast that I want to get out next year. And then I have another book called Pod Fade, and it's going to talk about the causes of pod fading. If you're new to this, pod fading is when you just kind of just quit doing your podcast and there's no official sign off. You just kind of just fade away. And so that's a book I have in the works as well. So I plan on putting out more books in 2017. So be very, very careful when you hear about this. And we'll be looking at tools. I think we're going to see more tools for advertising now that we have audiences, now that people are starting to see the power of the niche. And it'll be interesting to see as more and more sponsors come in, how we react to that, how we handle it. And for me, I've just been trying to make every week something a little different so it's not the same old ad, because you're going to be hearing about Emerald City Productions for 3 months. And we've got 1 month down. We've got another two to go. And so I don't want to bore my audience. I think they're a great sponsor. I think they're a great fit. And I think they have a great deal. That's why they came on. And like I say, I wanted some firsthand knowledge of what it's like to have a sponsor so I can write about that in my book to a certain extent, because I'm actually under a non-disclosure agreement. I can't really tell you, like, I can't say how much I got paid and things like that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting. So again, to all my American friends, happy Thanksgiving. To everybody else, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. I usually say Happy Kwanzaa Masika. I think that gets everybody as we go through here into the holidays. And I just want to stress again, I know there's all this, we love to just plan about planning so that we can plan to make sure the plan is up to par of the plan. So that when we think about the plan and then do some beta testing of the plan, you know what I mean? It never launches. And think of it this way. An author writes a book to be read. A musician writes a song to be heard. And I hear so many people that are recording podcasts that are never going to be heard because they've got to have this big launch. And I'm living proof today. I launched a podcast in about 4 hours. I made some fairly crappy artwork. I recorded some sounds. I recorded my thoughts. I found a host. I put it up. I built a website. It's really not that hard. And as I say, you can't improve what you don't launch. So I'm here and I'm looking you dead in your eyes and I'm telling you it's time to pull the trigger. Because here's the thing you also need to know. iTunes and Apple, they are now from this point forward pretty much on a skeleton crew. So where it normally takes hours, in some cases, normally 3 days, but I've seen hours to basically list your podcast in iTunes, it's now going to take weeks. So this is why we say don't pick a date and say that's my launch date, because you have no control over how long it takes to get you into iTunes. But now is the time to pull the trigger, right? I always say the best time to launch a podcast was back in 2004. The second best time to launch a podcast is right now. Now, come on. Seriously, I've been telling you for years, the water is warm. Come on in, and I'm here to catch you. All you have to do, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER. You can sign up for a single course, or you can actually sign up for a whole bundle, and that's actually the better deal. And you can go through and, you know, just start from planning your podcast all the way through. And I had a member of the School of Podcasting this week, Connie, said, hey, I just watched another 2 hours of tutorials at the School of Podcasting and learned more there in 2 hours than I did in months of research. So I am going to save you time, and I'm going to save you a lot of headaches. And there is a 30-day money-back guarantee. And I do have a little Black Friday thing going on through the end of the month. So as you record this today, you got about 3 days. And that is, it's a Black Friday. Yeah, spit it out, Dave. Here's the deal. Use the coupon code Black Friday. What's really on sale is my one-on-one consulting. So if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/schedule, you can get 50% off 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or 60 minutes of consulting. That's now through the end of November 2016. Here's the bonus. If you order an hour of consulting, use the coupon code Black Friday, and that gets you 50% off, and it gets you a free month at the School of Podcasting. So you can work with me on some consulting. We can iron out where you want to go, how you're going to do it, what you're going to do it with, and then you got a month to go through, blast through all the tutorials, and be good to go. So I hope to see you on the inside. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we'll get back to the microphone shootout. We will get to back to the glossary, and we're very, very close to the year-end wrap-up of what my favorite podcast is, and that's where we get to hear from you, which is always exciting to me. More of you and less of me is always my favorite. So thank you so much for tuning in, and until next week, take care, God bless, and class is dismissed. Yeah, I'm just pointing out the obvious that I said it was a shorter show and it's still an hour. And also, shame on me, I mentioned, you know, the no one will punch you in the face is the one and only Ryan Parker from foodcraftsman.com. How could I not plug Ryan's website? Thank you, Ryan.